They've all been driving down the road and seeing on the rear window of a car or the back of their trunk the words, "Wash me," inscribed in it. And certainly this speaks something very true. You wouldn't be able to put those words there if that car didn't truly need to be washed. Have any of you had that on your car before? Doesn't feel very nice, does it? But you can't acknowledge the truth of this scenario. So it's one thing to point out that some washing needs to be done. And it's certainly something else to actually do the washing. And this is what we're called to do according to Jesus' command. The word mandi comes from the word command. So this is his example, his command. By virtue of his example, do as I have done to you. And so the question, though, is how do we do this? If this is something that is not typically done in the world, is it even possible for someone who's in the world to do what Jesus did, to follow this example? This is something new. No, this is something unique. It's deeper. And so we go about this not by some sanctimonious Christian veneer, pointing out someone's dirt in a quote-unquote loving way. But no, this only is possible if we're willing to enter into the experience of the other. And by doing so, we need to really be willing to be closer to the dirt than just inscribing with a finger. And so this happens ultimately when we enter into Christ. And by doing so, this takes humility. It only happens if we ourselves are cleansed first. Notice that Jesus cleansed the disciples' feet before he told them to go out and wash others. Remember Peter's response, "Wash me entirely, Lord." I mean, wash my whole head, wash my whole body. This, and that was his response, which is an appropriate response, a visceral response, you know, a knee-jerk response in faith to say, I want all of you, Lord, which is similar to the psalmist, Psalm 51. "Wash me thoroughly from my sins and cleanse me from my iniquities." And by doing this, we become qualified to cleanse others. How? Because we're clean and that makes us somehow supernaturally able to cleanse others? I think there's something to that, but I don't think that's the primary reason. It's because once we become washed, we have the humility to be able to treat others with gentleness rather than judgment. When we're washed ourselves, then we're able to see others as we are seen by God. St. Augustine writes, "As man was lost by imitating the pride of the deceiver, let him now, when found, imitate the Redeemer's humility." That's what Augustine wrote in relation to this passage. It undoes the pride of saying, let me just point out, you need to be washed. That's very easy to do. There's truth in that. But the greater truth is to recognize we both need to be washed. Let me give you what I've received. Fulton Sheen goes a little bit deeper into this idea where he says that Jesus laid aside the garments of his glory. This is the example. Jesus became humble himself. The one who did not need to be humble chose humility. That's the primary example that precedes the washing. And so he unpacks this metaphor a bit more. Listen to these words. They're so concise. "He laid aside the garments of his glory, wrapped about his divinity, the towel of human nature, which he took from Mary, poured the laver of regeneration, which is his blood shed on the cross to redeem men, and began washing the souls of his disciples and followers through the merits of his death, resurrection, and ascension." So the real washing, this foot washing, points to the cleansing that would happen on the cross. That cleansing that you and I will appropriate all the more in the coming days. And this is the cleansing that we ultimately receive at the other theme that we're celebrating tonight, which is the Eucharist. You see, they're closely tied together, because it's at the Eucharist that we receive that cleansing of the cross. So we have the Mass of the Lord's Supper tonight. In some dioceses, they have the Chrism Mass on Thursday evening because it's closely tied to the institution of the priesthood. And in the prayer over the offerings, when the priest is setting up the altar for the Eucharist, after that's done, here's the prayer from the Chrism Mass. It talks about the cleansing of the Eucharist. May the power of this sacrifice, O Lord, mercifully wipe away what is old in us and increase in us grace of salvation and newness of life. That's what happens at the Eucharist. That is the ultimate washing. If we receive that Eucharist in humility, if we acknowledge, you and I, that we need to be washed, then we become qualified to wash others. By entering into Christ, by partaking of that body and blood, receiving what we could not do for ourselves, then we can become other Christus, an alter Christus, as we incarnate him to others. Now, this is something that is hardest among those we know best. When my children were younger, we were living in Federal Hill row houses, and we were washing our car in front of our row house, and someone said to us one day, "Gee, why don't you do that to my car?" "Oh yeah, very nice," as they walked away. But then one day, someone just walked by and said, "That car looks nice," after it was cleaned. We knew she got out of her car and went into her home. We didn't know her, because there's a lot of rental turnover on that street, but we decided, let's go ahead and wash her car. So rather than wash me on her car, we actually washed her car. Just a surprise. Now, you might say that fulfills a little bit more metaphorically what Jesus is calling us to do here. Not just to point out someone's problems, but to enter into it. But you know what? It's really easy to do that for someone you don't talk to, for a stranger. Have a great day. See you. But it's much harder to do this for those we live with. Notice that Jesus was cleansing the feet of his disciples, the ones who did not follow him very closely, the ones who would not follow him to the cross. And he says, do this for one another. Anyone who's in religious life, who lives in a monastery, knows that the hardest people to love are their own brethren. In the faith, their own fellow monks or nuns, because these are the ones whose pious opinions get in the way of moving forward, right? And so it is in our own households. We're inclined to be heavy-handed or to roll our eyes because we're too close to those who are with us. But if we understand that we too need to be cleansed, then we're able to treat others, even in our own household, especially in our own household, with gentleness, with humility. And we do this for those whose true identity is in Christ, who aren't always aware of how that identity is marred. These are those among us who are baptized, and we get so indignant by their offenses, we say, you should know better, you're in Christ. And this is why Jesus says the head doesn't need to be washed. You know, they are in Christ, just the feet. They've marred the person, but the person still belongs to me. So just cleanse what is marred, and he who is my own and is your own. So let us enter into that cleansing as we come to the altar tonight. Let us enter into our own cleansing as we continue through the Holy Trinity. Let us see the cost of our cleansing. Let us grow in humility, and so will we be qualified to wash the feet of others.